Okay, well, we're going to come to God's Word now. We are beginning a new series, and we're looking at the seasons of life, the seasons of life. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a really helpful series. I think we could do this, you know, every summer for the next 10 years. There are just so many seasons we go through in life, aren't there? And I've got some figures here from the Office of National Statistics 2021 that kind of just give us some indications of some of the different seasons we face in life. So some of these, most of these are the age at which half of all adults step into these periods. So the season that marks the age at which half of adults enter full-time work for men is at the age 23. For women, it's the age 24. The age at which half of adults move out of home is 24. In 2011, it was 21. That tells us something, doesn't it? It's harder to move out and set up home and cost of living and all that. Here's some interesting ones, the kind of order of these. The age at which half of adults, or the age at which, half of adults move in with a partner is 28. The average age women have a baby is 29. In 1970, that was 23. The median age for getting married, any guesses? Median age for getting married, what do we think? The most common, 31. Somebody said it, I think. 31, very good guess. 31. In 1970, it was 22. And fewer people are getting married now. The age at which half of adults have bought a home is 36. 2004, that was 32. And my guess is that figure's just going to keep going up, isn't it? Here we go. Here's one for you. You are likely to reach peak earnings at the age of 47. So if you're 48, that's it, okay? You need to budget if you think it's going to... Here's a season some of us I know have stepped into. Providing unpaid care, the most common age for that is 59. Becoming a grandparent, it's down the road for us. More than half of adults are grandparents by the age of 65. And this may tie in this next one. More than half of adults are retiring at 66. There's maybe a correlation there, mightn't there? Let's be honest. So just interesting, some of the seasons of life we step into, milestones. So we're beginning this series on the seasons. And in Scripture, we're taught it's important to discern what season of life we're in. I've quoted a few times, I'm really impressed with the sons of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They understood the times. The word is the kind of opportune time of God. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 16. Sorry, it's not particularly clear at the back there perhaps. But Jesus said, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the kairos, opportune times of God. You're not reading what God's up to. And that he's talking there particularly about the fact he was among them as the Messiah, and they missed it. Have you got that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised one, that God promised to Israel? He was God come to earth. They missed that, but I think it works at an individual and corporate level. We need to read the signs where we're at. So it's key then to understanding the seasons, I think, to living life well. I've asked you before, what season do we think we're in? Perhaps it's, you know, winter. It's a bit harsh. Spring, there's life coming. Summer, fruitfulness. Autumn, it's a season of transition. Actually, all seasons are transitioning. And so it helps us to understand the seasons. And in this series, we want to help us navigate seasons well, to prepare for some of them that are coming that are inevitable. We're going to look at some of those seasons. And how do we support one another through those different seasons of life? And how we're going to do this, we're going to have a variety of speakers and testimony and story in there. But today I just want to lay some foundations that I think can help us in any season. I think there are some things to help us get through any season of life. And so a few things to say then. Firstly, that the seasons, God, I think, uses seasons to disciple us. He's doing stuff in the different times of life. You know, 5 years ago looked different. Obviously, we've got a bit older, but also just situations have changed. Maybe family situations have changed. Maybe children have moved out. Maybe work's changed. And God uses those situations, those times, to refine us. Nothing that's happening is an accident. God's allowing it. Okay, it may not be all His will. I think there's a difference. Some of the things that happen to us are painful and hurtful, caused by others. That's not God's will. But nonetheless, as we've heard this morning, hey, there's hope. I want to hold out hope to you. If you're going in through a situation right now and it's really difficult and somebody else has caused it to happen, and it's frankly, it's not fair, and maybe it's even downright despicable, God can work hope in that. It can be tinged with hope and good. So God uses these situations, these seasons, to refine us, mature us as disciples. I wholly believe that. The circumstances of life are not accidental. You're not just going through stuff. Suck it up. Get on with it. God holds out hope. It's why, as a pastor, you know, sometimes you come across situations you've got to step into, and part of you is going, oh, my life, what advice, what counsel, how do we help someone through this? But then part of me is also going, yeah, but God knows. God's got something. God can work something through this. And it's a kind of optimism rises, right, Lord, Holy Spirit, help us. This is what Jesus said in John 15. He says, I am the true vine. This is how He's at work in our seasons. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I think He's talking individually and corporately. I think God does this with whole churches. You are already clean. The word there is the same as the word pruning. So you are already pruned or cleaned, shaped up because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Otherwise, it's going to die, isn't it? Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. There's something in this. As we go through these seasons of life, somehow allowing God to work in us, we show ourselves to be His disciples. Well, much like I've just talked about refining, here Jesus talks about the process, okay, this is tough, of God pruning us. How many of us have experienced seasons where we know God's pruned us? He's cut away so that we bear fruit. The folks who look after vineyards know this. Gardeners know this. The one incident of this in my life, I mean, Ali, you know, orchestrates the garden, but we had a plum tree where we used to live. And one year, and to be fair, it was Ali. And the way Ali, it seems to me, I mean, she admits this, the way Ali seems to prune is just like savage, just like attack, attack. And we pruned this plum tree. The next year, fruit, like made jam and everything. The following year, we didn't prune it, nout. Absolutely nothing. And our lives are like that. We've got to allow God to have His way. I just feel this might be a word for someone here this morning. Hey, whatever that situation is, you've got to let God have His way. You've got to let God have His way if you want fruit. because he wants to prune, he wants to shape, he wants to cut off what's not going to bring life. And that fruit is good works, undoubtedly. But it's primarily likeness to Jesus. That's what he's doing. That's what he's really up to. This is how Paul summarized his ministry, really. He said, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth," these processes are painful at times, struggling, aren't they? "Until Christ is formed in you." So he's wanting to form Christ in us. That really encourages me. Why? Because I know there's been trials I've been through where in terms of achievements or success, and people looking from the outside might have looked and thought, "God, he's really going through it. What's going on there? Looks a mess." And to the outside it did. But here's the point. You may be going through things where you just think, "I'm not coping, I'm collapsing here, I'm not able to work as well as I did, my emotions are all over the place." But here's the point, Christ might be being formed in you. It's just you've not seen it yet, and others don't see it from the outside, but Christ is being formed in you. And that may not be obvious yet. Fruit takes time to grow, doesn't it? And that's, Jesus said, to my Father's glory. So firstly, these situations, let's not be afraid of them, these seasons, these changes, transitions, because God's discipling us. Secondly, I encourage us. A key to thriving, I think, and this is probably the key, a key to thriving in any season, situation, is that we put Jesus at the center. It has to happen in life anyway, but particularly as we go through our seasons, that we put Jesus at the center. He's just said the vine needs to stay connected, the branch to the vine. How connected are we to Christ? How strong is the signal between you and him? You know, you might need to move, you might need to change, to go and get a stronger signal to stay better connected. How does Jesus put it in John 15? He says, "Remain. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit." So the key, I've found this such a liberating life lesson. So the key is not to try and bear fruit, try and achieve, do the good works. The key is to attend to our remaining. I think I've probably said it here before. I said it only yesterday to some folks. You know, high capacity, capable people used to intimidate me because they're achieving and doing stuff and it's all out there. How many of us know, though, we can do that out of human strength, be striving, and often folks come a cropper because they get burnt out striving for the stuff. And I've come to see, if I just remain, whatever happens, whatever achievements there are, if I remain, it's fruit. The key is that I remain in him and I will bear fruit. And it's up to God what that looks like. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. So we're encouraged to remain. And a branch, doesn't it, maintains a vital connection to the vine. So I want to ask you, brother, sister, do you feel you've got anything like a vital connection to Jesus? It will look different for different ones of us, but in there somewhere, we're going to look at what that might look like. But you kind of feel, yeah, okay, I'm in a good place with God. I'm in a good place with Jesus. I do feel I'm walking with him. I do feel he's close to me. I'm trying to serve him. I'm trying to love him. Because there's a challenge. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Branches become disconnected, they're cut off. If they become disconnected, there's no life there. And Jesus says they're useless, they're burnt up. And so much, I think, of our endeavors in life, so much of what we strive after, it's not going to count on that day. It'll be straw and hay and stubble. So we've got to stay remaining in him and knowing that what we're about is what he wants us to be about. And again, I think I've seen this in terms of church life. When folks go through trials, sometimes folks become disconnected from Jesus. They become disconnected from their church and family, spiritual family, but more importantly, they become disconnected from Jesus. And I encourage folks, bottom out in that situation on Jesus. Know that he's in it. No, try and seek what he's saying, and we'll come back to that in a minute. So is there something else at the center? Are we chasing career? Are we putting family first even? In facing our struggles, are we trying to do it in our own strength and not remaining on him and his life, drawing up from the vine his life? Well, how do we ensure, how do we try and put Jesus at the center? What might this vital connection to Jesus look like? Well, just a few hopefully reasonably practical things. But the first thing to say is this: we have to make a choice to hold to godly values and priorities. We have to make the choice to hold to godly values and priorities, to put Christ as the foundation to build on. It won't just happen. God's not going to force his way in as we're chasing something else. And key in this is living obediently to Scripture. Absolutely key. This is what Jesus says, goes on to say in John 15. If you remain in me, and I think he's here mapping out something of what it means to remain in him. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that doesn't just mean memorizing Scripture. It means absorbing God's word and living by it. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Okay, there's something here about remaining in God, remaining in his love. Okay, how do we remain in his love then? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. You know, I sometimes hear folks say, you know, God's a God of love and we just need to love people. And as long as people are loving people, yeah, but there's a way of loving people that God set up. And it's this: to keep his commands, to live according to his word. It doesn't just mean any lifestyle, any way of living is okay, you know, as long as it's loving somehow. You know, love is love. No, sometimes we can love the wrong things. We're to keep his commands. We're to live according to his principles. You will remain in my love if you keep my commands, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. It's challenging, isn't it? So how are we living in terms of our marriages, our finances, our lifestyles? Are we choosing to put God's word first? And we'll come back to that. How do we do that then? But secondly, what does this look like, this putting Jesus at the center? How can we encourage it? Well, we need to cultivate relationship with Jesus. Jesus says this. He's talking about the good shepherd. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. Notice how in the Far East, shepherds went ahead. He goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. I know in my life I've followed strangers. I don't mean people necessarily. I just mean wrong voices. My ambition, wanting to make something happen, whatever it is. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Run away from the stranger. If you're being tempted now to follow after a stranger's voice, a strange voice, run away from it. Don't mess with it. Listen to Jesus' voice. Ali and I are in a situation at the moment where I think we're having to try and do this, because some of you will know we're stepping away from leading here in September. We do not have a clue. Don't have a clue. Actually, we're okay with that. Some of you have been really kind to us and come up and kind of asked us, you know, have you found anything yet? And I understand your heart. It's kind of going, you know, wanting good things for us. Actually, we're just in a situation, I just think, we don't know. We've had this word about breadcrumbs. Somebody here gave it to Ali. A word about following breadcrumbs, following the trail of breadcrumbs, and just one breadcrumb, then the next, and somehow, hopefully, I'll find myself with a job at some point in my future life when I'm grown up. So we're just trying to follow the breadcrumbs. That is key then, because there's all sorts of things we could try and make happen, but I believe the Lord's trying to teach us, listen for my voice. Listen for my voice. But we should all be doing that all the time anyway. It's just sometimes he lets us kind of get on with things and we just get on with things and that's fine. And then he may break in. So we need to try and hear and understand his voice. Well, how do we get to do that? How do we cultivate this relationship with Jesus and get to know his voice? Some of you will know this first quote here. Children spell love T-I-M-E. We've heard that, I'm sure. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. That's a quote by this guy. And then it goes on to say, time is a concrete, measurable expression of love. When parents give their child the gift of time, they are saying, I love you, I value you, and you are the most important person to me in the world. So here's the challenge, isn't it? What time are we giving Jesus? Cultivating a relationship with Jesus can be measured on a watch. Who knew? Who knew? Now, God's going to love us anyway, but our love back to him, I think this is a truism. Just as parents spell, you know, just as parents give time to their children, I think we're called. It does us good. It's how we cultivate a relationship with him. It's how we come to know his voice. How? By giving him time. Time. Him himself. Now, I understand we'll do good things around about and get on with good activities. That's okay, that's great. That's kind of giving, serving God with his time. But I'm talking about the relationship with Jesus. Somebody gave me a word. It's just come back to me now. So I think it may be for some of us here. I had it in mind to bring it up in this preach and clean forgot about it until just this second. Somebody gave me a word once when I was kind of struggling, and I used to have brilliant quiet times, like tears and just real intimacy with the Lord. And I went through some stuff, and I think I lost some of that. And somebody came up to me and gave me a word, and he said, you need to sow into that relationship again. God's missed you. God's missed you. He's missed his relationship with me. Do you feel like the Father potentially could say that to you, that I've missed you, you know? I've missed you. Why don't you come back? I've missed you. Have you known times in your life when you've had lovely intimacy? We did a preaching series once here called Invitation to Intimacy. It just came off a picture I had of just like it was a tent flap. It was like the tent of the tabernacle, the tabernacle of the ark with the ark in, and just the tent flap just blowing, almost like, I wonder what's in there. And an invitation from the Lord for us to go in and develop intimacy with him. I just encourage you, brother, sister, you know, as a pastor, if there was one thing, a couple of things on that, there's one thing if we could encourage you to be about, to give this time, it would be praying. Spend time in prayer. Prayer is, again, it can be measured on a watch. I'm not saying you have to do that, although you may want to. But it's just spending time with him, talking, and it will look different. I sit in a room, I sit on a sofa, I had a cup of coffee or tea and something, and I sit there. Other people I know are out and about walking the dog, and just God speaks them through creation. Other people worship and God speaks them. But give him time. Just say, Lord, I'm going to give you time. It can be sat driving to work. I understand we're busy and all of that. But give him time, and time in his word. Time in his word. How can we remain in his word and his word remain in us if we never come to it? I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad here, by the way. I'm not. Don't hear this as condemnation, please. That's the last thing I'd want. I do think, though, there's an invitation to you. I think the Father's heart is so to draw us individually. Just, you know, at some point sit down and go, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you some time. And just see what happens. Just be open. See what you read. Cultivate a relationship with Jesus. Cracking on. You need Sabbath rest. Putting Jesus at the center, I think, can look like keeping Sabbath rest, holding to Sabbath rest. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying there. I'm not saying keep rules. I'm not saying keep rules. The Sabbath was made for man and woman. I'm not saying keep rules. I'm not saying keep, you know, fine to keep Sunday special, absolutely. But I'm not saying, you know, don't do this, don't do that. It's not a bunch of rules. But I think actually, it does us good, and societies have found this through history. In the French Revolution, they tried to get away with the Sabbath, and it just didn't work. We can't do it physically. And I don't think we can do it physically now. We still get, you know, stressed by passing up on the opportunity of a day spent God-conscious. I think we can take a day. I think the Lord will honor you if you try to take a 24-hour period. Some of us in this church, you know, do it and do it well at other people, work hard at this. I'll come to that in a minute. But I think it's about being God conscious. Ali did a great job with our kids growing up, you know, just sowing into the Sabbath, you know, the car journey home. They'd leave me in Westminster at the church I used to work at in the evening. They'd drive home and they'd put some worship on and they just used to have great chats. We can sow into it and model something to our kids. I think it's that day, God conscious. It's not about, I don't think it's about, you know, putting down your work to-do list and picking up your home to-do list, okay? I don't think necessarily that's Sabbath. And I understand, again, I understand the pressures of time that this will look different for different ones of us. But it does take effort. Let me read this first and then I'll share. The writer to the Hebrews says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. This is interesting. Let us therefore make every effort to enter rest. That's a paradox, isn't it? So hang on, what? Sorry, read that again. You make effort to enter rest. I think what that's about is guarding time with God, making an effort. And I know families here are great. I'd take my hats off to some of these young, busy families among us who kind of have, you know, tidy Friday to tidy the house and get all that straight in order to have rest Sabbath on Saturday. Because Sunday can be a busy day. Okay, so, I think it can help for Sunday to be your Sabbath rest. But can I just say, how many of us know, just because we come to church on a Sunday doesn't necessarily mean that it's Sabbath rest, that it's resting in God. Hopefully something here is ministering to you and there's an element of you're being ministered to and maybe refreshed, hopefully. But we make an effort to enter Sabbath rest. And I think there's a big part we could live life in Sabbath rest. I think that Sabbath rest can be ongoing. Not that we don't work, but that we just rest in God. Because I think a big part of Sabbath is we're saying, God, I trust you now to run your world. I'm going to leave it to you. I trust you to run your world and my world. So I'm going to leave some of the jobs I think I've got to do and some of the phone calls I think I've got to make. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to try and rest in you, rejoice in you, spend time with loved ones, maybe read your word, you know, maybe be a bit more, we do this a little bit, be a bit more careful, for want of a better word, in terms of what we watch. Not because it's wrong to watch certain things, but just things get in your spirit. I like an action movie, okay, but maybe on a Sabbath, I just want something a bit more peaceful, restful, maybe. I don't want to get religious about it. You've got to choose what's for you. We don't make rules about this stuff. Anyway, cracking on. So Sabbath rest, next. What will help us put Jesus at the center is by nurturing good friendships. It's why this series ran for however many seasons. Because there was something about it. A group of people come in, warts and all. A safe place for them where they were friends. Where they were friends. We need these, don't we? We need folks who are going to say to us, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. That can help us keep Jesus at the center. Good friends around us who are going to share with us, who will be honest with us, who will love us, who will support us and pray for us. We need to nurture these. And it's a two-way street. We can't just sit back and go, yeah, I haven't got any friends. I've not made friends here. Well, okay, well, can I ask you then, how have you put yourself out there? Where have you made yourself vulnerable? Have you prayed that God brings friends across your path? So important to nurture good friends. They help us put Jesus at the center if they're those sorts of friends. And then lastly, let's stay connected to our church family. The writer to the Hebrews says, you know, don't give up meeting together. I think that's at all different levels. I think it's corporately like this, but I don't necessarily think we can argue from that. This is what he's talking about, the gathering. The writer's talking about it could be, you know, just at all stages, let there be fellowship, let there be connection in our small groups, again with friends over coffee. Because when we stay connected like that, we're encouraged in the faith. It goes on to say, you know, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We need these friends, we need to stay connected, have people around us that are going to encourage us in these things. So to conclude then, What season are you in right now? Do you have a bit of a take of what it is? What's going on? What God's up to? Is it a season of celebration where life is flowing and there's fruit and you just feel a bit buoyant? I think, great, great. You know, those seasons are great. Let's rejoice with those who rejoice. But then there can be, can't there, tough seasons. I think we should try and manage our expectations through the different seasons. You know, don't expect lots of yourself if you're going through a tough season. You know, be kind to yourself. Just nurture your soul. Be kind to yourself. Lower your expectations for yourself. I think that may be a word for someone. You know, we live in a very capable Western society, and this is a capable church. And I think probably a number of us have high expectations on ourselves. And sometimes we've just got to lower the bar. Lower the bar somewhat. If you're going through a tough time, lower the bar. Just accept that's the season you're in. Be kind to yourself. And are we putting then Jesus at the center? Are we trying to hear and discern his voice? Absolutely key. It's not being religious, is it? Knowing his voice isn't being religious. It's not going through the religious practices. You know, good though, turning up, showing up is. But that's not quite the same as knowing his voice. I just encourage us, as we go through the seasons of life, let's put Jesus at the center and do all we can. It will look like something to really try and nurture that relationship with him, that we might know his voice and obey it and follow. I'm going to ask the band to come back up, but let's just pray, shall we? Let's just pray. And maybe just in the quiet, you want to just come before the Lord. You might want to just put your hands out in front of you as if to say to him, Lord, I'm coming open to you. I'm coming open-handed. And is there anything the Lord's been saying? Listen, it won't be a condemning voice. I want to set you free here this morning and say, I don't know that any of us here are super spiritual giants. So I want to set us all free from trying to be that. There's a lot of good people here. But let's set ourselves free from being spiritual giants. At the same time, let's not be down on ourselves. So your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with Jesus has to look your way. It'll be different from someone else. But is there anything you just feel a prompting to, a nudge into, some understanding, some fresh insight this morning? Might there be any way in which his voice is being heard by you? You're hearing his voice, whatever that is, whatever the prompting or nudging is. Maybe it's the Lord's voice. I want to encourage you, remain in his words then. Whatever it is that he might be saying, pick it up. Hold on to it. Live out of it. Live according to it. Jesus, I bless you for this lovely fellowship. My brothers and sisters here, there are centuries of walking with you here. Centuries of following. And there are so many seasons we've been through here, individually, in our lives, and corporately even. And Jesus, I just want to pray for refreshing in wearying seasons, for any who need that. Come, Holy Spirit, minister refreshing. The life of the vine. Jesus, I pray for release from burdens that we're carrying expectations on ourselves that we shouldn't be carrying, that we don't need to, that you don't want us to. I just pray, Lord, release folks from those false expectations and help us to receive your yoke. Jesus, I really, really pray for any here who've known intimacy with you in the past, known those lovely times of coming to you and joy, but maybe it's gone a bit dry and arid, barren. Jesus, I pray that this morning those folks, our precious brothers and sisters, would sense your new invitation to that intimacy. And Lord, whatever need that needs to look like, I pray they'd receive that invitation and step into it to nurture again a lovely relationship with you. So Spirit, take your word this morning. Minister it to us. May we prove to be good soil, and let there be fruit as we remain in you. This to our Father's glory. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen.